Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, thanking God for another day, thanking God that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he wants the best for us, for God is so good, and he loves us so much that all we can say is thank you, Lord. And God has given us a spirit of forgiveness. The Lord says, he who forgives is forgiven. And that is where we're coming from this morning. As we've been reading in our Old Testament words, Joseph forgave his brothers for the horrible sin they committed against him. They sent him into bondage, but he forgave them. And we have to forgive. We got to let go and let God. So many times we hold on to what used to be. He said, she said, they said, and all of that extra. Well, all we need to do is put it in the hands of God. And so, you know, I was looking at Sister Carolyn's word for yesterday, and I'm going to share it, and I'll share today's word as well. But yesterday's word touched my heart, and, you know, yesterday, this is what Sister Carolyn said. Today, God wants you to know that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Whenever you feel like giving up or you're down, weak, and overwhelmed, and can't seem to pick yourself up, remember that your strength comes from the Lord. Don't you dare give up. God has amazing things in store for you. Have a super Saturday. I haven't got her word for this morning yet. But that was just something that touched my heart, that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And as we were in the Old Testament on Friday, Israel is dealing with some stuff. They have been enslaved since the time of Joseph because, again, history unknown is history repeated. Last night I had the privilege of seeing the 1619 musical. And I tell you, it was awesome. It was so awesome because they gave a history overview of African Americans are those brought here in chains, enslaved from 1619 until today. You know, and the thing is that it was so awesome how they put everything together, old and new together. They talked about Emancipation Proclamation They talked about the first slaves. They talked about Christopher Attucks. They talked about the Declaration of Independence. I mean, everything, they put it in, but they did it so smoothly that it was wonderful. And I'm so grateful I had the privilege of seeing it. And I have the privilege of being with you this morning. So we're going to get into our word because we don't want to delay. It's Old Testament, New Testament, but it's Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament Sunday. And we have a lot of words this morning. Want to miss anything? So let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we know that the battle is yours. It's the word, your word says, and as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it in her affirmation word yesterday, her word to get you through the day. Lord, I thank you for putting it in her heart that our battles are fought by you, God, and that we have to let you handle the situation. Lord, you are the one that has taught us to forgive others as you will forgive us. Father God, we want to walk right, do right, and be right. So, Father God, I ask for forgiveness of anything that I've thought, any way I've felt, God. But you know all things. You see all things. You know all things, God. And I'm asking you, Lord God, to forgive those that have no forgiveness in their heart and help them to forgive others, to let go of past hurts, past pains, even if the hurt and the pain was on yesterday, to let it go, God, that they will know and understand. They must put their trust in you. But you are in charge of everything, God. So, Father God, I lift this word up to you with a repentant heart and a heart asking you, Lord God, to clean me up with his give me a clean heart and place a right spirit within me, Lord, that I will speak your word with the Holy Spirit. Let him speak through me, God. As I decrease and you increase, Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Lord, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. As I have heard so many times, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I say so. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And it's in his name I pray, asking you to bless this word, bless the hearers of it, bless the doers of it. As we forgive others, Lord God, we ask you to forgive us in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and I am grateful. I am thankful. And I know that I know in my heart I am blessed. And I thank you all for joining me this morning as we move forward in God's holy and divine word. As we start today, we will be in the 15th Psalm, verses 1 through 5. We'll be in the 16th Psalm, verses 1 through 6. And we will also be in 16th Psalm verses 1. Basically, we will be in the 16th Psalm verses 1 through 11. And our proverb today, we will be in Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 25 through Proverbs chapter 5, verse 7 through 14. Proverbs 5, 1 through 14. And our New Testament word will be coming out of Matthew chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 8. So let's get started. Get your Bible. This is what? This is Bible study. And we are in our psalm this morning. And our psalm says this: Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own heart and does not change. He who does not put out his money as usury. Come on now. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. And you know that word, he who does not put out his money as usury. There are those who want to use you to see what they can get from you, but they, when it's time for them to give back, they don't ever have it. They don't ever have what they need to give back. They never pay their debts. You know, and if you get someone that pays their debts, God bless them. But there are those that are just user spirits. They always got the hand out. But when you need a helping hand, their hand is closed. And you have to ask God, Lord, show me the users and the abusers. Do not think about helping anybody but themselves. Because one thing that my mom always said, if you're going to give somebody something or loan something, make sure it's something that you don't want, something that you don't mind giving away, and money that you have that you don't mind not getting back. So that's what we have to think about as we look at that psalm. And as we go into the 16th psalm, a Mikdam of David. And it says, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. We must trust in the Lord in all things, knowing that God has got your back. And for those that will be at church today, you'll hear this psalm again because it's part of my message. But I just wanted to say, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God, that little G. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. And you know, even back in the Psalms, we had no idea that drink offering of blood I will not offer. We know that Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood for us every first Sunday and some all Sunday, every Sunday. Some churches have communion. And who would have thought that way back in David's time, David was talking communion. David was talking the blood of his descendant, the blood of Jesus Christ. For he said, their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. And we understand that back then it was the giving of a ram or a lamb or a goat, you know, or a bull or whatever it was that you had to sacrifice. But this, an unblemished lamb, an unblemished ram, you know, a goat or whatever it was that you had to donate for your sins. But we have the blood to commemorate every time we think about the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, that he gave it for you, he gave it for me. That is why we trust in the Lord all the time. Oh, Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lies have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. We have the inheritance of being children of the Most High God. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. We used to sing that song, I shall not be moved. But we have forgotten to sing those songs. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. We need that in our lives these days. We don't want to be moved. We want to be that firm tree planted by the waters for God's blessing, by the waters of heaven. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. We got to take it to the throne. And now, for my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, but you will not leave my soul in Sheol. We know that is hell. We don't want to be left in hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord, somebody. I praise God this morning. I am thankful. I am grateful for this mighty word of God. For you that are just joining us, we are in Proverbs chapter 4 and starting at verse 25. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Remove your foot from evil. Don't let the evil one get you off track. Don't let it throw you off course. Chapter 5 of Proverbs. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and your mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. He's talking to his son because he's trying to keep her from going down the wrong path with the wrong woman. Come on now. Therefore, hear me now, my children. And do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. And do not go near the door of her house. Come on now. We all know that Potiphar's wife was a ratchet woman. And it would have been like David talking to Solomon, talking to his ancestor. Joseph, don't go near that house. She done sent all the servants away because she getting ready to take advantage of you. And then she going to lie on you, my brother. Come on, run. Run away from that door. Don't go in. We all know what happened. But it says, lest you give your honor to others and your years to cruel ones, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Come on now. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. We've got to be so very careful where you put your foot, where you step. Be careful where you go and who you go with. And as we go back into our word this morning, in Proverbs 4:26, it says, ponder the path of your feet. Sometimes we fall into sin, not because we plan to, but because we aren't looking where we are going. God calls us to stay spiritually alert at all times. And that includes taking regular inventory of our life's directions. You got to look up, but you got to also look down to make sure you're not about to fall into a pit. We got to be careful where we go, where we walk, and who we are with. And as we go to our Proverbs chapter 5, it says, remove your way and do not go near the door of a house. God's word tells us to be free to flee sexual immorality. In 1 Corinthians 6:18. But I want to say it one more again. God's word tells us to flee sexual immorality, not to test our spiritual maturity by seeing how close we can get to it without falling into it. If you know something tempts you, stay away from it. If you know that you can't go to Sister Susie's house because some things happen with you at Sister Susie's house. Don't go to Sister Susie's house. If you know that you're not supposed to be going down the street to Boo Boo and them, don't go, because you're going to fall into a trap of sexual immorality. And you know that Sister Susie is kind of like Potiphar's wife. She likes some young. Come on now, I'm just calling it like it is. And Boo Boo and them, they just ratchet. They ratchet too. They do all kind of stuff down there. Got all kind of babies out of wedlock, doing dipping, tripping, diving, and everything else, selling and throwing it out. Come on now, I ain't going to even go down there. You know that you don't need to be there. You got to stay away from sexual immorality. Flee. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Don't tempt yourself. If you know you can't drink, don't go to a liquor store. Oh, I'm just going to get a bag of chips. Really? Really? Just at the grocery store. And you don't have to go down the liquor aisle. Come on now. If you know that you don't want to be doing, don't go to the marijuana dispensary. Oh, well, it's legal. I'm just going to go in and get some stuff for medicinal purposes. When you know that marijuana led you to do crack, and crack led you to do some other things. Come on, man. Don't tempt fate. Don't tempt God. Flee. Flee and flee. Run. Run in the opposite direction. And I can tell you, everywhere you are looking and where I live, I was at a restaurant the other day, and I was wondering what they was building next door to it. And I realized they was building a new marijuana dispensary, a cannabis dispensary. And I thought, okay, so you go to the dispensary, you get high, and then you come to the restaurant to eat because you're hungry. Okay, I understand. But, again, don't go near the door if you know you got a problem with that kind of thing. Psalm 16 and 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. God often gives us his counsel when we grow quiet enough to listen to him. While in bed or getting ready for sleep, we must be ready to listen at all times, because he may be ready to speak at any time. God wants us to forgive. That's what God spoke. Forgive, for it will be forgiven you. Part of our lesson today. We got to forgive some stuff. We got to forgive, you know, the boo-boos and them that got you hooked on drugs. You got to forgive Sister Susie, who may have took advantage of your kindness. We got to forgive all those that have done dirt against us. You got to let it go, because understand, we got to take accountability too. You know, sometimes we want to be all mad at this person or that person. I can't stand her. She is my cousin, and I signed and helped her get her car. And I never even drove the car, and she didn't even pay me back. Get over it. Let it go. Let it go. Because you should have had enough sense not to sign. Come on now. That's on you, not on them. Let it go. Psalm 16 and 10, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This verse is an important prophecy about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, quoted by Peter in Acts 2 and 27. Peter argued that since David had died and his body decayed, the verse had to apply to the Messiah Jesus. Amen. Yes, just like the blood, that cup of blood is about Jesus Christ. We already know that God's word is God's word. Was there at the beginning, and it'll be there at the end. The word of God was always there. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. We got to keep that John chapter 1, verse 1, in our spirit. We got to know who we are and who we belong to. And, you know, because I am not exactly sure that I quoted that right, I'm going to the word. The word of God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. Woo, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thank you, Lord. I quoted it right. John chapter 1, verse 1. He was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1, verse 2. Jesus has always been there, and he was there yesterday. He's there today, and he is going to be here with us tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and forevermore, the Word was and will be with God. And we are part of his family. Tell God thank you this morning that he adopted you into his family and that you are loved by him. This word is just filling me up this morning. As I woke up, I'm working on my sermon for today, and God kept telling me, trust in me. Don't ever worry because I got you. Don't fear because I got you. And I'm thinking, yes, God, I thank you. I thank you this morning. But then he said, but for your word this morning, you got to know and let my people know. You got to forgive for me to forgive you. You got to forgive others. For those just joining us, he who forgives is forgiven. We got to let go of the past. Don't look back. Lot's wife, she looked back. And what happened? Kill us all. Bam. Don't look back. Shake off the past. Let go of those that hurt you. We all know we have dealt with folks that have hurt our feelings. We can't let keep all that stuff bottled in. When God forgives you your debt, your sin, you got to forgive your debtors. That's what he says in his prayer. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive your debt. As I forgive your debts, forgive your debtors. We got to, as he forgives us our debt of sin, we got to forgive those that have sinned against us. Let it go. Matthew chapter 16. Ooh, this is a magnificent word this morning. That's all I can say is I am filled up, y'all. And we're going to start it. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 17. Verse 1, and it says, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. No, he didn't take all the disciples. He didn't take all the disciples with him at the transfiguration. He did not. And I'm sorry, y'all, I was right. I need to go back to 16. Matthew chapter 16. Forgive me, y'all. And it says in Matthew chapter 16. No, God forgive me. Lord, I was right. I'm getting confused. Y'all forgive this girl. I have not had a lot of sleep. My mind has been on what I got to do this morning. And as far as my message that I'm preaching today, so forgive me because I know that I got this message to preach today too. But I just have to say thank you, God. You know, we get our, and I'm going to say this to all of those out there, make sure you get plenty of rest. Because when you do not get your rest, your mind gets all confused. So I'm asking God to give me peace, woo, in the name of Jesus, and clarity, and put me back on track. We want to be on track for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 17, let's try this again. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, he took James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. So, again, Jesus and his aces, Peter, James, and John, he didn't play. He didn't have a whole plethora of folks that was always with him. He had his aces. He had the ones that was going to always be there. He had his armor bearers, if you want to call it that. They were there. They were tight with him. You know, our pastor did an example about sticking together in unity of the body of Christ. And she had three of our young men come up, and they held each other real tight. And she tried it. She almost got through the first time. That's like the enemy always tries to get through. but he couldn't get, but then the next time when they realized she's going to try to come through, that's like the devil. We got to hold each other tight, and we got to hold on to God's unchanging hand, holding tight so that the enemy can't get through. And when we go back to the word of God, he took his aces, he took his besties, he took his BFFs with him up to the mountain because he knew that he had to let them see because his church was going to be built on them, Peter, James, and John. He knew that these three, whoo, were going to have to do some work. They had some work to do. And it says this, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Can you say that? Whew. White as the light. Remember, it says that in the new kingdom, you will not have to have the sun and the moon because it will be as bright as light. We know that the Savior shines as bright as light. And it says, and his clothes white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah. Did they find Moses' body? Nope. Come on now, I'm just saying. Moses and Elijah. And it says, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I always wondered, how did they know that it was Elijah and Moses? They had never seen them because they had lived thousands of years, at least 1,000 years before them. But how did they know? That had to be a gift of the Holy Spirit for them to recognize who was on the mountain with Jesus. And as we continue, it says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Second time, this voice from heaven spoke to these disciples. Remember, at the baptism with John the Baptist, the Lord spoke these words. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Second time, the Lord spoke this in the hearing of disciples. And it says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. The only way we're going to get rid of some demons in our lives, some demons that show and rear their ugly faces is by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. For those that have fasted these 21 days, I say to you, praise the Lord that you have made it through. Hallelujah. Tell God thank you. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And the third day, he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, yes. That's like saying, does your teacher not pay tithes? And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, son? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when he will have opened his mouth, you will find all money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Can we say, God provides all your needs. God provides all our needs. God provides. Matthew chapter 18. I'll read all of the Matthew life lessons for 17, 18 after we get finished with the word of God. And it says this, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. Come on now. For offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. But the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. He already told us, for the righteous. He didn't come for the righteous, but he came for the sinner. He came for the lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. We got to know who found us, who brought us back from the brink of the abyss, the brink of the pit. It was Jesus. He came for us. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is it not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, and go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Again, you take it to the person, not to the phone. They are junkyard dogs. Well, girl, you know I can't stand because Sister Susie said this, that, and the other about me. And you know what? But I know what she doing. You know she got folks be coming all up in her house. Yeah, I'm telling it. because she knows she should have said what she said to me, and she shouldn't have been flirting with my husband. Now, you should have gone to Sister Susie and said, wait a minute, sister. Don't flirt with my husband. You need to ask God to send you your own. This is not going to be a Samaritan woman situation. This is not going to be a woman caught in the act of adultery situation. I'm coming to you and speaking to you, woman to woman. That's how you have to handle that situation. You go directly to the source. Take it not to the phone, but you take it first to the throne before you go and talk to the Sister Susie's of the world. If he hears you and have gained your, if he hears you, you have gained your brother or your sister. But if he will not, take him to one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Then you take her to the pastor, because she called herself up there being a head usher and slipping and dipping with the men in the church. Come on now. Take her to the pastor and say, listen, pastor, I'm bringing this situation to you and to the deacon board. My husband is one of the deacons, but I'm bringing it to the deacon board. This is out of hand. I'm standing with my husband, and this woman who says she's a woman of God is trying to get between us, trying to flirt, cause confusion in my marriage. Come on now. You take it to the right place, and then you take it to the pastor if you and Sister Susie can't work something out. Because you got those women that I'll say, well, I think that he should be my man. I'm better for him than you. Come on now. But he didn't choose you. He chose me. We got to go on and keep it like it is and tell it straight. But it says, come on now. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You got to bind them spirits. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. But again, it's got to be the right thing. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The key word is in my name. Not two or three gathering for doing some skedaddery, but two or three gathered to do what is right in the sight of God. And then as we go into Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21, as we continue this word, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times. Wait a minute now. Let's see what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. You got to do a lot of forgiving. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that's a lot of money. But as he was not able to pay his master, commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Let's say forgive us our debt, right? Forgive us our debt, the word of God. And in that, how we're supposed to pray to our Father God, and that's the Father's prayer, forgive us our debt, okay? But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is not a great deal of money. So that would be like comparing maybe $500,000 to $100. Just say it like that. And he said that he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, gave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servants just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturer until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. We got to forgive, to be forgiven. That is our word for this morning. And as I go back over the life lessons from our Matthew text this morning, I say we got to remember that as we are forgiven by God, we got to forgive others. We can't hold on to what was done in the past. Let it go. Shake it off. Give it to God and keep it moving. We have to forgive to be forgiven. If there's anyone that has a word this morning, now is the time to push the one on your phone and your line will be open. And it says this, push number one and your line will be open. If God is giving you a word for this morning, for this lesson, that we must forgive to be forgiven. As we ask God to forgive our debt, we got to forgive the debt of sins from others. As you ask for your sins to be forgiven, your trespasses to be forgiven, you got to be forgiven of others' trespasses and others' sins against you. Forgive and let go and let God. And it says this in the word of Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. At both the baptism of Jesus and the transfiguration, God the Father publicly declared his great pleasure in his only Son. Jesus speaks for the Father, and we are to obey him as we obey the Father. Matthew 17 and 17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Jesus expects us to grow in our faith. Our trust in him is to deepen as we depend upon him to help us overcome difficulties and surmount challenges. He is not pleased with stagnant faith. I'll say that again. He is not pleased with stagnant faith. We don't want to be one of those yield little faith. We want to have it. We want to know it. We want to believe it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has in mind the humility of little children and their unconcern for social or public opinion. He encourages us to place childlike trust in him, regardless of what others may think. And when I read that, I thought about how when you see children that have never been taught anything, all they just see is another child. Children see hearts and they see souls and they see minds. Children don't see color. They don't see other religion. They just see the person. You know, I was on YouTube, I guess probably last week, and there was this clip that came on. And it was this little baby, and his mom and dad were in the DMV. And there was this man, the baby was Caucasian, and the man was African-American. And so this little baby just was fussy. But he looked at the man sat next to him, and all of a sudden, this baby just put his little arms up, and the next thing we knew in the video, you saw him getting into the other man's lap. And when mom and dad tried to take him back, he wouldn't go. He was about to throw a fit. And so the man just held him tight. And the baby just looked up at him and just smiled, rubbed his face. And then when the parents told the baby's story, I get all teary-eyed. But when the parents told how they had, complications having this baby. And then it gave him the date of the baby's birth. The man just started to cry because that was of his brother who had died exactly the year before on the date this baby was born. And that was like just touched, it touched my heart. This baby was born at the time his brother was transitioning and leaving this world. And this little baby just is as if he knew this man. And he said that he went in sad, but he came out feeling rejoicing. Your brother's all right. He's with me. He's an angel. That's why God loves our children, because as the word of God told us, more, oh, what are you, let me go back to our angel babies. And that's what I love the fact, because he talked about the angels of these children. And, you know, we have to remember that. And he told us, he said, woe to the world because of offense, for offense. Let me go back. In the kingdom of heaven, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned. Woe to the world because of offense, for offense must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. You know, we have to be careful. And he says, take heed, verse number 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And I just felt in that story that maybe this baby's angel was the brother that had passed away. And this baby saw the love in this man. You know, children don't see the outside. They see the inside. Matthew 18:4. It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. That includes children. Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. He is with us this morning. The Spirit of Jesus lives in each individual Christian, but he promises to be with them in a unique and special way when they gather in his name for worship, service, and mutual encouragement. We got to encourage each other. We got to lift each other up. The love of God in your heart, because Jesus loves you, and so do I. And I thank God for you joining me this morning as we went through the word of God, and it has been a great word. And I say, as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word hopefully from Sister Carolyn, because I had not got it before we started, but hopefully I've gotten it now. And I do. And it's this: good morning. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19, King James Version. Have a blessed Sunday. And I got to say it again. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Keep God first. Put your trust in him. Forgive those that have sinned against you. Let it go. Give it to God and watch him work in your life and in the lives of others. And I love the word that God gave me for yesterday as far as our prayer. Forever give. When God chooses someone and graciously imparts gifts to him, they are never rescinded. What God has for you is for you. Never forget that. And what God has for all of us is a heart of forgiveness. Good morning, Mother Valerie.
Good morning, Pastor Bridget. I was just listening. I love what you were saying about forgiveness. The person that you forgive, sometimes they don't even know that they have offended you. And
that's
when
right.
You hold a grudge, it's really hurting you. People have gotten cancer, they have gotten sick, and it's all because of unforgiveness. You have to forgive. You have to forgive in order to help yourself. If you want to help yourself, forgive somebody like our Father in Heaven forgives us. A lot of times people offend you and they don't even know it. They just keep on moving. And then you are carrying that around. Forgive, forgive, forgive. God is so good. He woke us up. It's another day, and he woke us up. It's a beautiful day. I don't think it's raining outside. God is just good. He's really, really a good God, and I thank and praise him for it. I thank and praise him because he did it again. I didn't see the sun, sunrise. It's dark outside, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. Beautiful. Always beautiful. God is just
Amen.
Good. And thank Woo. You just going forward. You know, I woke up this morning with moving forward. That's the song that was in my mind. Just keep moving forward. Ask God to let you move forward. God is just good. He's good. I know we say that all the time, but it's really the truth. God did it again. He's just a great God. Really a great God. And I'm thankful. And I'm grateful. Hallelujah. And I praise his
praise
holy
the Lord.
Name. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Tell God thank you this morning. As we say
thank
together,
you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And thank you, Mother Valerie, for joining us. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for our word from today, which is right on point with the lesson, as always, as well as her word on yesterday. For those that just joined us late, let me go back to Sister Carolyn's word for yesterday, which also covers today. Today, God wants you to know that the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Whenever you feel like giving up or you're down, weak, overwhelmed, and can't seem to pick yourself
My
up,
Lord.
Remember that your strength comes from the Lord. Don't you
My
dare
Lord.
Give up. God has amazing things in store for you. Have a super Saturday and have a blessed Sunday. And remember, as we say every time we're together, especially on Sunday, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Make sure that the Word of God is going forth. Have a blessed day, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a great and blessed day, keeping God first. And remember, don't let that spirit of offense get on you. Forgive as it is forgiven, because he who forgives, it is forgiven. To forgive you as you forgive others. Let it go, as the song says, let it go and give it to God. Let go and let God. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap, Mother.
It's a wrap.
Y'all. Because I got to finish my sermon and get ready for church. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.